There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Greetings, fuckers. Where you been? How you doing? Did you drink enough water today? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut-shaming podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Welcome to the show. If you are in New York City on Thursday, March 7th, we are doing our last for a while, Guys We Fucked Live at the MasterCard Midnight Theater. You're going to want to get a ticket to that. And if you're not in New York City, if you can't afford the live ticket, if you just don't feel like fucking putting pants on, we also live stream these shows. The video quality is great. I always watch the video version after. It's thumbs up. You can't participate, but other than that, you can see all the fun stuff that goes on. These are shows that you definitely don't want to miss. So if you can't be there in person, definitely pick up one of the live stream tickets available.
Yeah, these shows go off the rails, and it's our first live event with our new third mic, Eric Freddy. So I have a surprise. We'll see if he's going to do it, but either way, it's going to be fun and wild.
And also for you Luminary subscribers, if you are in Washington, D.C., I'm also in Washington, D.C. right now. You missed the show yesterday, maybe, or maybe you were there because you're amazing. But if not, tonight I'm at the DC Comedy Loft for 2 shows with Chloe LaBranch. And also tomorrow, Saturday night, I'm there for 2 shows with Chloe LaBranch. Make sure to get a ticket. DC, you always come out in droves. It's going to be a really fun show with new material.
If you want to email us, it's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line, my boyfriend's neighbor keeps trying to fuck him.
Oh, boy.
Hey, ladies, I wrote in over the summer for the first time after listening for 6 years about how to get the guy I was fucking to stop squatting in my house.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, I remember that email too. I followed the advice, of course, and told him he needed to get his shit together and get out. He did, and immediately found an apartment, a job, and went back to college.
But now there's a new problem.
Yeah, well, there always is. It's like he was capable of it the entire time.
Yeah, but the thing is, like sometimes if you don't set the boundary of making the person leave, if he's getting a free place to stay, why would he go unless you tell him?
Yeah, who in their right mind would just be like, I guess I'm going to get rid of this easy situation.
I mean, someone with dignity, but other than that, not a lot.
Sure.
Short supply
these days. Who has dignity? Let's spread it. On to the new issue. I started seeing my now boyfriend in August, shortly after I kicked squatter out. This is the first relationship. Oh, that's great. You kick the squatter out, you make room for another guy.
Yeah.
And then everybody wants to fuck him. So that's why you're writing this again. Shortly after I kicked squatter out, this is the first relationship I've been in 4.5 years. We took things slow and dated for 3 months, then called it official in October. Everything has been amazing. He's sweet, kind, and funny, and loves me so loudly in ways that I've never experienced. Oh, it's beautiful. He's always cooking me incredible meals and offering to take care of me. My dog, he's a lot of work. He plans us cute dates and is the most caring, thoughtful man I've ever met. Not to mention, he's got a job. Yay! Owns a house. Woohoo! Has 2 dogs and takes care of himself. He's an independent person, but also has a solid group of friends for a 28-year-old man. He's taken me to events with his friends a few times, and they've all been welcoming. He has quite a few girlfriends, which I wasn't worried about. I have some close guy friends, and he doesn't mind. But his neighbor has become a big problem. He's lived next to, I'm going to say her real name just in case she's listening and can get the message loud and clear. I'm not.
Yeah, come on, stop.
He's lived next to Lisa.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not doing your dirty business for you, girl. He's lived next to Lisa for about 3 years now. I think she's between 28 and 32. I asked my boyfriend, and he said he didn't actually know and didn't know what she does for work. Okay. They've been friends since he bought this house. They'll go see movies occasionally or grab lunch, maybe smoke weed on their patios. Overall, casual. We were eating dinner a couple months in, and he was telling me something about her. And I said, I'd love to meet her. She sounds cool. And his response was, I'm not sure she's ready to meet you. He then told me how when she met the girl he was dating over a year ago. He then told me about how when she met the girl he was dating over a year ago, met her and
this person be here.
Okay. Lisa got incredibly jealous and stopped talking to him because she needed to reevaluate their relationship.
Yeah, she's playing Lisa's playing the man in this situation.
Mm-hmm. I asked him if they had previously hooked up or if he had liked her. He insisted they hadn't, and honestly, I believe him. He's given me no reason to not trust his word. I explained that if she's still uncomfortable meeting his new girlfriend after the first jealousy issue, then she still really likes him, and that's not a very good friend if her intentions of their friendship are different than his. He said he was very clear with her in previous jealousy situations that he was not into her like that, and he only wanted to be friends. Why need a new friend, though? I said it was fine that they stay friends. I mean, yeah, he could do whatever he wants. He's his own person. And hang out, but he needed to be explicitly clear again with her about only being friends. I mean, I think that is explicitly clear. He was explicitly clear. He was super receptive and agreed he'd clarify with her. He hasn't mentioned hanging out with her since that conversation. About 3 weeks ago, I was watching his dogs for the weekend at his house.
Yes.
And when I was walking out, she was walking up to her house. She made eye contact and immediately looked down. I introduced myself because it felt weirder to not say anything. And she said, okay. Then walked inside.
Oh, it's a little weird that
she's immature as hell.
Yeah, but it's also weird that like that made it so obvious that like you were talking about her, Lisa, that you just like know what she looks like and went up to her.
Yeah. I told my boyfriend this and he said she was just shy. Okay, maybe she is shy. Then last week I was waiting outside for him and she walked out of her house. I waved at her. You don't got wave. And she looked up and she looked me up and down.
And also, you don't put this in, but based on the letter, you waved cuntily and you know you did. I know you did.
Yeah, you did.
You waved like a cunt.
Yeah.
Come on, I know. Stop playing. Like, you're only giving us the one side of the story. You waved like a cunt.
You didn't go.
Yeah.
You went.
You're pretending you're extending an olive branch.
And your titties are probably out too.
And you're actually pissing on your boyfriend. And that's fine, but please tell me what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
Then when he walked out, he also waved at her and she completely ignored him. He just shrugged it off. Last night he left his phone. Oh, no, girl. Last night he left his phone open on the counter and I saw that he was texting with her and she had sent him a really long message. I didn't read any of it, but the length of the message threw me off. It would throw me off too. I don't know if I should bring the topic back up or not. But this girl clearly has shown some weird obsession with him. She invited him to her family Christmas party, which he declined going.
It's not a weird obsession. She has a crush on him. That's not an obsession. We've all had a crush on someone.
And we've all ignored that person's girlfriend for a second to continue the crush that we have.
There you go.
So that happens. She brings him baked goods pretty consistently. They aren't good.
You're being such a bitch.
Yeah, I know. She even made him a little basket of stuff for Christmas. God, who's she made? I trust my boyfriend and that he's not doing anything he shouldn't. But I feel so uncomfortable with this girl and I don't know what to do. Look, every woman knows, like every woman walking in the world, boyfriend, husband or single, has had guys act like this to them. And it like it's innocent. It's just a crush. And she's not giving it up because she just wants to entertain it. And he's not doing anything about it. Like, he's acting like the woman in this. Yeah. Like, I feel like
also part of this tactic is like she's seeing if she can break you and it's working.
Yeah, she's showing
because
that she can.
What's going to happen is you're going to start annoying your boyfriend with your insecurity.
She's creating a rift
between
you guys.
She's there to there to catch him when he falls.
Ooh, with those baskets.
It's actually a genius plan.
Maybe she'll start making her baked goods taste delicious once that you're out
of the
picture.
You're taking the bait, yeah.
Yeah. We communicate very well in our relationship, but I feel like she continues to overstep. Any advice would be appreciated, so I don't seem like a crazy girlfriend if I bring it up again. Don't bring it up again. Here's some quick pictures of him and me and of our dogs, of course. Quick follow-up because I finally found her on Instagram and wanted to send pictures of her,
You want to talk about an obsession? You're obsessed with her.
Yeah, you are. Okay, I guess that's you. That's you. Oh my God, your boyfriend looks like the lead singer of Incubus. I mean, it's like I can't really tell. He's super cute. Those dogs are great. And then this is Lisa. Oh, Lisa, I think Lisa just has resting bitch face. You can't fault her for that. It does seem like that on her Instagram. So like,
I think Lisa's just an awkward gal.
Yeah. She's awkward. She could be awkward. She could be shy. She has a crush on your boyfriend. Girl, you got good taste. Okay. But you know, like you don't have to be, the territorial aspect that you're demonstrating here. Yeah. When you said that you saw a very long text message from her to him, that would have piqued my curiosity. I wouldn't have read it either, but I would have been like, what's up? But that's about it. Like, that's the only thing in here that I would like hook onto. I don't know. I don't know what other advice.
If you trust your boyfriend, you have to trust your boyfriend and just move on. Like, yes, this girl obviously has a crush on him. And the thing is, it's like, I kind of feel bad for this girl because there's something about your boyfriend that like, I do trust that he's not cheating on you and is not thinking of it. But
he might like when that she has a crush.
Exactly. When you but know someone has too. A crush on them, like to keep hanging out with the person is a little cruel when you have zero intention of dating them. Like it is nice. It just almost seems like your boyfriend needs like a little bit extra of a confidence boost and he's using this girl for that. There's absolutely no reason knowing someone has a big crush on you to go out to brunch with them one-on-one, to go to movies one-on-one, to go on these faux dates. Like honestly, as is every fucking situation that gets written into this show, it's women are fighting women when really the onus should be on the man. That's the template for, I don't know, 85% of the emails that we get on this show heterosexually.
Especially if the neighbor was like weird to his previous girlfriends. That's where you go, okay, you like this, sir. Yeah. And look, what no one hates when somebody has a crush on them. We all love it. It's great. But like, there's morals that have to be put into play
here. He needs to set the boundary. He needs to say, it's obvious that I've said that I don't want to be more than friends. It's obvious that you still feel this way about me.
And it's cruel.
And I feel like I'm just leading you on with our one-on-one friendship. It's like, I'm happy to hang out with you in a group setting, but like the one-on-one is inappropriate on his end.
Yeah.
As always, he's on a relationship.
She's not doing anything wrong.
Is it tacky that she's going for your boyfriend? Yes, it's tacky. 100% it's tacky, but it's fair game.
She definitely
can play the game if she wants.
She absolutely can. And I'm sure she definitely has this I was here first mentality about it.
Yeah.
Because she knew him before the first girlfriend, before you, writer. And then she, you know, so maybe there's some territories. But it's all ego. It's all ego, guys. Check your ego at the door. But yeah, he should stop fucking hanging out with her. You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And you, honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
After you come see us at the MasterCard Midnight Theater, Thursday, March 7th in New York City, go listen to my stand-up comedy album, Good Girl Barbara, available on Spotify and Apple Music. And I have a Patreon where once a week I do a group Zoom therapy for an hour, and we talk about whatever is on our minds, and their conversations get very deep very quickly, and I really enjoy them. So you could sign up for that at patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. I'm also implementing a $5 a month level. You could just listen in on the Zooms and listen in to me doing bonus content for the Voices in Our Heads for this new book by RJ Spina called Supercharged Self-Healing. And if you're in Springfield, Missouri, come see me headlining the Blue Room at March 22nd and 23rd. I'm going to be in you. Springfield, let's go.
Someone who is a member of your group, Sherpy, came into Perfectly Centered this weekend, and he said he really enjoys it.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then he brought...
Wait, was it Seamus?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and I love him.
And then he bought the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes.
That's great.
So anyway, final month at Perfectly Centered store. So many wackos and buckers came in this weekend.
Yay.
Because I'm going to be in the store a lot. But always just if you're interested in basically coming in and buying stuff, some stuff, and then buying yourself a private meet and greet with me, which is what it is. And I know that you're using it as that, and I don't care. Just buy shit from the store. And I was signing baseballs this weekend. I'm signing receipts.
Nice.
I'll do whatever.
Fisher signed baseball.
Dude, that's cool.
Do whatever the
fuck. That's really cool. I got to stop by, actually. Are you there this week?
That's awesome.
No, because I'm in D.C. The store's closed.
It's
this
closed.
Weekend. Okay. But other than that, yeah, come in and buy some stuff, and I will sign whatever you want for you. But you got to buy some stuff. Don't come in disrespect. Back me like that husband from a couple of months before. You have to buy stuff because
so
literally, like, this is like a different business, and like I can't move all the stuff into a storage unit. I need to physically get rid of some of this stuff. So Perfectly Centered store, yeah, we're gonna be closed this weekend because me and John are both on the road. But after that, we're open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 12 noon to 5 p.m. and you'll have, you know, the March 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, March 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. I'm not there every day, but I always post on Instagram when I am there. So just check. And if you see my video and you live close enough to Westchester, take a ride there.
I'll buy you out of your Pokemon cards.
1989 Palmer Avenue, Larchmont, New York. And of course, listen to Without a Country podcast. Some really interesting. I mean, Donald Trump's making sneakers now.
He's going nuts.
He's also killing in the primaries. He's killing Nikki Haley. I mean, like, I really feel like he's going to be president.
Yeah,
again.
No, it does seem like it.
There's
he's
almost
so
no
dumb.
Doubt.
Yeah.
I got to be
so
honest.
He's so dumb, but his dumbness, like, he says things and all those shows play clips of him. Like, he's kind of funny.
Oh, no, he is funny.
I've been beaten down enough to go, damn, the guy's funny.
Well, because when everything in the world is in such shambles, you're like, it's kind of hilarious that this guy has such a good chance of being president again.
Yes, yeah. And is in just in court cases for him. I'm just like,
91.
This is the movie that like fucking Greta Gerwig or Judd Apatow, like a Christopher Guest movie.
Yeah.
Like, the world feels like a Christopher Guest movie.
World's most unlikely president.
Oh my God.
Let's write in a dog. Ugh. Like the corgi
Bart
that
Simpson.
Yeah, yeah. That in a backpack.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love corgis. They're very royal and regal. Did you have any, did you want
to? Oh, no. If you have something to say, go ahead.
I learned this recently. 50 years ago, women weren't allowed to legally sign their own mortgages.
Oh, yeah. I knew this.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is mad not that long ago.
Yeah.
That's I'm surprised wild. It's 50. I thought that it would have been.
It was in the 70s. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
74. Right, 1974.
Okay. Yeah. So we're just getting old.
And then and now, because I was reading this article about.
Yeah, your dad
women.
Or your husband had to sign off on it, right?
That's. Yeah. That's yeah. crazy.
Yeah. Well, even like when I had a, when
what,
I was buying my
come.
My property, I remember, you know, I think I talked about on the show, like you have to like check off that you're single, which really should have no relationship to you
a
buying
mortgage.
A property.
Yeah.
But yeah. And me and the female lawyer, we had a little chuckle over it together.
Yeah. I didn't know it was like that. That's crazy. And then today I was reading an article about how 11 million women, single women own homes nationwide. And home ownership with single women versus single men in the United States is way higher with women.
Yeah. Historically, as soon as women get rights, we absolutely fucking annihilate them in the most positive ways. We just like, we have so much political power as soon as we were given it. Like, I mean, just across the board, when we get an opportunity, we really
seize
use it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We seize the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also wanted to share a website called letstalkaboutit.com. Talkaboutit.com. That website has a lot of resources for domestic abuse. So we get a lot of questions about domestic abuse, safety plans, all these things. These things need to be done very delicately.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, if you're with somebody and their partner who you're pretty sure hits the woman and they're like, does he hit you? And she says no. That's because if she said yes, she would get the shit kicked out of her later
Correct.
That night. So it's like there's certain facets of a domestic abusive relationship, physically abusive relationship and emotionally abusive relationship that you have to kind of handle very carefully. And this is I just wanted to give this website out again. It's letstalkaboutit.com.
Yeah, because a lot of you guys write in and as the best friend and you're like, I gave him a piece of my mind. And it's like, that's not
bad.
You're going to get
He's
killed.
He's going to give your friend a piece of his fist.
And then your friend's also going to get killed.
Yeah.
So I love the boss bitch attitude, but in domestic
it's
violence,
silly.
It's not the correct approach unless you are like a professional shot putter or something.
Ugh,
okay.
I wish, like the trunch bowl.
Unless, yeah, exactly. Like, yes, exactly.
Put
like
him
you
in
look
the
like
chokey.
Trunch bowl. That's not
imagine.
A good approach.
Yeah.
So stop doing that.
Yeah.
On a more positive note, for my little anecdote for the week is this has been happening a lot with my straight male friends, the, you know, platonic friends. I know we say that they can't be, but I do have a good deal of platonic male friends. And there's been this theme lately of at the end of the night, them hugging me and telling me that they love me.
Oh, that's nice.
This has been a new theme from people that I would not expect it from.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to name names because I feel like I'm going to out their vulnerability and they're going to get
That's
weird about
beautiful.
It. But like, it happened with two people that I was really, really, really astounded that they said that to me, that they initiated that I love you. And I felt like they really meant it.
Aww.
And I was, and they weren't even that drunk. And, I mean, I was just so proud of these young men growing up. They're Yay. Older than me, but all of them. But yeah, I was like, wow, look at this.
You're vulnerable gents.
They are, you know, change. Things are really happening.
Yeah.
Never even kissed either of them.
Wow.
Nothing mildly inappropriate ever happened between either of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I was
beautiful.
Just really so, so proud of them. Guys, you know.
It can happen. It is possible. It can happen.
It is possible.
So, Michael,
yeah.
This is your last episode.
Officially.
We've
finally.
Said that like 10,000 times.
It actually
times.
Is, though.
No, yeah, this
yeah,
is the
for
actual
real,
one.
It is. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Michael.
I wanted to give you the floor in case there's anything you want to promote one last time. Say
any last petty
out.
Remarks you needed to get
petty
on.
Petty? Shit.
Why
do you need
advice?
Remarks? Do you need? I don't know. Well, whatever you feel.
We
oh,
just
like,
wanted to open the floor to anything
petty.
Available.
Yeah. You need advice on something or you want to throw something out there. You want to promote Slickback Studio, whatever.
I would like to promote Slickback Studios. So thank you very much, Christina. Your mm-hmm. show is obviously on the network. The
yeah, baby.
In our heads. We've
yeah.
been cutting up
we
clips.
We discovered a ghost the last time.
Yeah, we
I
did. That was
there.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
And now the crazy thing about now that we're collaborating on these clips through like Slickback Studios and you, I get to see the people that are leaving comments on your videos.
They're
some
so
of them
kind.
Are quite strange.
I don't know what it is. All of a sudden, the bullying on Instagram is getting ramped up.
Well,
and I'm
also-
like, it's called You're Aging. Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, welcome to my world. Welcome to the other side of 35, Hutch.
I mean, it's been going on for the past like couple like year or so, I would say, but I'm like, this
that's
so
what it
weird,
is.
But it's so like childish. And it's like, yes, I have a temper and it's easy to get like get me hooked and be like, fuck you. But like, they're just, they're not even like interesting comments. They're just so dumb that I'm like, are you okay?
Well, then you
no, they're not okay.
Right.
It makes me laugh.
They're very not okay.
You also have the comments that come in from guys with like Mickey Mouse as their icon on Instagram that are like great feet or like, you know, sexy, great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been fun. But yeah, Slickback Studios, we have a lot of great shows, including my personal podcast that a couple of listeners had reached out about, kind of keeping up with me. Mike Coscarelli Rules is my show.
Like how he had to get that in here.
But you guys gave me the floor to promote.
Yeah.
Please subscribe and rate and review and everything. That's where you can keep up with me. We'll be doing weekly shows there. But my parting thoughts, I did actually have some thoughts that came to mind knowing that this would be the last time I recorded. I obviously, we've kind of done this before, but officially I want to thank you guys for bringing me along for this ride. It's really been awesome.
Forward any of the BetterHelp invoices to us. I feel like we've, you know, helped, but also hurt your relationships.
I think that it's helped more than it's hurt. Cause I think
that's good.
And that's a BetterHelp.
Yeah. Hey.
I like to think that when I have personal interactions with women and everything, I have the two of you guys kind of on my shoulders and in my head. Mm. And it helps me to make what I think is usually the unless it's a fivesome. But I appreciate that you guys have put me in a position, I think, to live a better life as a man, because I can go through life.
That's very nice.
Listening to women the way that I think that they want to be listened to. And I hope that I am actually practicing what I preach there. But so beyond the professional podcasting like experience that I've gotten to have with you guys,
we've changed your life.
Yeah, you really have.
That was very
good,
sweet, Michael.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And
thank
to the you. Listeners, I just appreciate you guys accepting me and seriously for 2 years.
More than us, you did. You accepted more than us.
You know,
you don't have many critiques on Mikey, but you had a lot of stuff to say about me. But
I had a conversation with an ex over the summer, I found out that listeners were like, though I don't condone this because I think it's kind of like bad, I appreciate it. Listeners were like getting in her DMs and being like, oh my God, like I can't believe you would break somebody as nice as Mike's heart. And like all this stuff.
It kind of feels good when it happens.
It kind of feels good. So
better than trying to fuck her, huh?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Wow, so, you've gotten a much better experience from our show than we have.
Yeah, I just feel like the listeners really embraced me and that
did.
Meant a lot, has meant a lot the entire time. And you know, to come into a show that's been going on for so long with two people that are so beloved, to feel that warmth from the fans is awesome. And
they're pretty great.
Yeah, I've appreciated every single one of you guys, that anybody that's reached out and said a nice thing and about me moving on, or even when I was on the show. It means a lot. And it's going to be weird. It's a big change to not be with you guys in this capacity anymore. But, you know, I appreciate the
Thank
two
God
of
you're
you.
A second mic on my podcast, because I'm like, this would be, it's very sad.
It would be sad to walk away from completely. But
that's
what it is. This is all like a big satellite. Like I'm in the Guys We Fucked world, the ethos forever. And you know, I'm happy about that. That means a lot to me. And you know, I'm moving on with such a good feeling and I'm glad for I'm happy for the next stage of our relationships too. And I just, you know,
texting.
It's
me just, too, Mike.
You know, like I feel like now
I'll send you a meme every now and again
on Instagram though, not on text.
But now I just feel like there's a different level because it's, you know, when you're in a job for so long, I've always said this about to other people in media and stuff. When I was in radio, I think I picked this up. I started at the radio station as an intern, and I knew at some point that I was going to have to move on to do something else, because the people that had been in that building for so long and knew me when I came in as an intern were kind of always going to see me in some way as that kid.
Yeah,
as like a 20-year-old, until you move on and you go away and then you come back.
Yep.
And then you're a little more on you're viewed a little more as a peer.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I've never felt that you guys don't treat me that way, But I think moving into a different part of my career, it changes the relationship in a way that I feel like it's like the advice that I feel like I can get from you guys comes from a bit of a different place, because now we're on paths that are a little more parallel.
Yeah,
as
we're both
opposed
like entrepreneurs.
To,
and, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So obviously, I'm following in your footsteps in a lot of ways, and obviously, like I've already come to you guys on it for advice on some things, but
yeah.
I'm sure the next couple of years will absolutely.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure it'll come normal again sometime.
Yeah, you will.
We'll see about that.
One day.
But that's it. That's my parting notes. It's Yay. All warmth on my end, and I'm just
And you have a great roster, by the way. Congrats! Hats off to you for
very good roster.
For earning that roster, because the comics that have podcasts on your network are heavy hitting killers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, truly.
We have Anna Roisman, who's been on this show.
Oh my god,
Chris Burns,
Anna and Andrea.
Andrea Lopez,
they are
Andrea
so
Allen.
So funny.
It's a lot of really good talent, and hopefully that, you know, we continue to do more stuff, and we
and
wanna...
female heavy, because Mike creates a safe space in his Slickback Studios.
It, honestly,
it is haunted.
I was talking to Frex, who has also been on the show, and was like, we were talking last week, and she was like, she was like ribbing me about the diversity. And then like thought about it for a second. She's like, actually, it's all women.
Yeah.
I was like, it is. Yeah. Because I don't really know, like, you know, no shade at something like a Gas Digital or whatever. But it's just not an environment that I feel like I feel super comfortable in.
No one feels comfortable.
No,
that's the environment that they've created.
Especially women.
Right.
Yeah, I lock the door, actually, when I'm recording.
Yeah,
so no one can get in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But
they can see it through the glass, but they can't get in through the door.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. We're so excited to see where Slickback Studios goes.
Thank you, guys.
And follow it on Instagram, right? It's Slickback Studios, one word?
It's Slickback _ Studios.
That's hilarious. I looked down and there's a fucking ghost meter next to me.
It's the EMF redirection.
Oh, we had some wild ghost activity.
Dude,
on the
I brought it to Mike's studio. There's a ghost in the table, in a cement table, and the Princess Diana
potentially,
plate.
Yeah, the Princess Diana
went
plate.
Nuts.
Wow.
And I was like, what the fuck is that?
There we go.
What is that?
There
we love you, Michael. Thank you for
we
all
love you.
Love you guys too.
You know who else we love?
Today's guest.
Yes, he's a stand-up comedian. You've seen him as a talking head on so many hit television shows. He's the co-host of "I Never Liked You" podcast, and the Advice Special Part 2 is now available on his YouTube channel. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Matteo Lane.
A lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
We are here with stand-up comedian Matteo Lane. So happy to have you back.
I have Botox.
Ew, what? How could you admit that out loud in front of everyone?
I want to start off and get it off my chest. I've been holding this in. It was not discussed beforehand. Botox.
Well, I like because you mentioned it casually, and I feel like what people are so weird about talking about enhancements, and especially men, we do see it. It's the one medical procedure that we see going wrong more often in men than women.
How does it go wrong?
Well, because there's just less research. It's the only form. Yeah,
but also you get a lot of Corella DeVille.
Well, is that how you get that? I thought the Botox relaxed the.
No, you could put it up here, and then your eyebrows raise up, or you could put it down as a complaint.
Oh,
Johnny Resnick from Goo Goo Dolls. I actually cry about that.
Famously on the
show. He used to be
Goo Goo
so
Dolls.
Hot.
He was so hot.
I mean, when young Johnny Resnick looks like Matt Rife, and now he looks like.
But isn't that just it? Like people, I almost wonder if like enhancements are. I've never used that word, but you said it, so now I'm saying it because I don't know if that's the way we're supposed to say it.
No,
but just plastic surgery. I feel like if you go too long without. Like, look, some people don't get it and some people do.
Sure.
But if you go too long without having anything done and then one day you're like,
you're
give it to me, y'all, then it's like,
then
no!
Madonna. You got to get a forehead implant.
Yeah.
Although Madonna, something happened and she looks very good as of late.
You can undo it because, like, Demi Moore, we saw she went really.
She was unbelievable.
Yeah.
She undid the stuff?
She made one appearance when she got the buccal fat kind of removed too intensely. And then she went back to something else and now it looks great.
Yeah.
I love the buccal. I never heard of that until.
Because a lot of this stuff dissolves within your face. So, you can look like trash for 3 months, but then you can fix it.
But I do. And I saw something online. I followed this like plastic surgeon online. He has no hair. I forget his name, but he's great. He has alopecia. So like, I should really be more specific.
Bald fuck.
I thought it was his stance against the things that he's doing. Right. He's like, you don't need to.
Right.
But he has alopecia.
Hypocrite. But he'll look at like other people's YouTubes and this one girl. A lot of women are talking about like, it's always the most gorgeous woman, size zero, perfect skin, who's like, we have to stop doing this to ourselves. I was like, you're 21.
In their 20s, they're saying, shut the fuck up.
I think people get plastic surgery and Botox. I think it's just like, whatever makes you comfortable.
Exactly.
We have one fucking life. It is some YouTube girl who's gorgeous going to tell you not to make your... Now, there are people who get their like way too big of cheeks or jaws and stuff, and that's always fun for the rest of us.
It is very fun for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Also, too, it's strategic, especially if you're the entertainment industry. You want a leg up, get it. If you can afford it, get it.
Yeah, also, it makes you feel good. I just want a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I want to do lips. I've never done that.
Lips are tricky. They do a thing where they can cut the skin here and just actually physically lift the skin up so it doesn't protrude like a... Like,
yeah, because I don't like the protruding because that distracts me. If I'm talking to you and I'm like, now I know.
The
you
trout
gotta...
lip.
Yeah. It looks good in photos and videos, but in person, no dice.
A lot of plastic surgery looks good in photos and videos. And then in real person, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah, and I don't want that. I don't want that kind.
Have you ever gotten anything where they actually had to cut your face, Bo?
My hair surgery.
Oh, well, yes.
That was intense. I mean, that's a 10-hour surgery.
I heard it's really painful. Well, they numb you, right?
Well, okay. So I think some people have...
Set the record straight,
Matteo.
I get Botox. No, I got my hair transplants here in New York, And I think depending on where what clinic you go to, they all do it a little differently. But mine, right. I don't remember any of the surgery. I've gotten it done twice now, and I don't remember either surgery.
Oh, they knocked you out?
No, you get Ambien and Valium.
Oh, wow.
So I don't remember them numbing me. I don't remember being flipped over. I don't remember a thing.
Did they give you an Ambien?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? Doesn't that make you sleep for like 8 hours? Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's a 10-hour surgery.
Oh.
I wake up and I'm like, good morning.
And you have hair.
You have a new hairline.
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got my first hair surgery because I was really balding. I can send you the pictures if you want to post it. And
this is going to be just a before and
after. Yeah, because I never knew you to have thinning hair.
I was doing a comb hair. I'll show you.
Hid the gap, Mateo.
Yes, yeah.
There are
ways.
I was basically doing a comb.
Just don't lay on somebody's pillow after you put the powder on because then you're going to get all over their pillow.
Don't even get me started. The amount of pillows I've had to wash for myself.
Yeah.
But yes, I do. Okay, so this is where my hairline was before any surgery at all.
Oh, okay.
It went all the way back up to here.
So it was like it was like a horseshoe.
It was kind of rough.
Yeah.
And I just was insecure and I was always like, hair here was longer and I'd pull it forward and topic spray and hairspray.
It's so much work.
Shellac it. Yeah, so I just wanted to be done with it. So the first surgery, they just kind of fixed that. Then you have a post-op a year later. And I go, I know you're going to say no, but I said, I just want a lower hairline and more hair here. And he goes, we'll do it. I said, oh, great. And I said, and also give me a beard. Go, okay.
Oh, so a beard?
They added all this. I never had any of this. And this takes 4 days to recover. Done.
How do they add the beard?
They take hair in a lab. Okay. And then they use little gnomes. No, I'm joking. They pull. I love the man with the fullest beard trying to inquire what else you have to do with a beard.
No, I'm just asking.
They take it from here. They take it from under here, and then they put it here. But this hair falls out. Like, right now, my hairline that they put in, which basically they gave me the Dominican.
Yeah.
And all that hair falls out in like a month.
And then it grows back and forth.
You know exactly what all this is.
I've seen
and the
video.
And then 4 months it comes back.
And so it's growing back naturally.
Yeah, yeah, like hair.
This is... Okay, so they replace
they take the follicle out. So when they take the hair out, the follicle comes with it, and they implant the follicle. They have like a like a sewing machine device.
It's like a seed.
Yeah, they're replanting the seed. Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
So right now I'm spraying with topic spray what my hairline will be. So if you get real close, it's very drag queen esque happening right now.
This is great. It looks
phenomenal. And the hair that gets transplanted will never fall out. Mm-hmm. That is also something I was told.
So you're just gonna just start aging, but then the hair will just be sharp.
The forehead, the forehead will be sharp.
I said because this is one of my jokes, but it is a true story. My doctor asked me, he's like, do you have any balding in your family? I said, no. He goes, no one. I said, no. What about your mom's dad? And I said, my mom's dad is a Mexican with a 1-inch forehead.
Oh, wow. So much hair.
His hairline starts here. So
mustache.
I don't know why no one else in my family is bald, but I was losing my hair rapidly. Maybe it's stress related.
Yeah, I was gonna say stress. Yeah,
living in the city, just all of it.
All of it. But I've never had a great hairline. My brother has the Mexican hair, like the thick black straight Mexican hair.
Right.
I just don't have it. So, anyways, now in April you'll see. But I get Botox.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Do we know the Botox? Like, there's negative side effects that we know of yet?
No, but I think it's been around for long enough now that we would know.
Right? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I feel like it's been around.
My mom's been getting it for a while. She used to get it in her neck for medical reasons.
I've had it in my traps because they're so tight.
Yeah, her neck muscles.
If you put too much, your head will, like,
fall over.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love it. You look great.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you do. You're very handsome. You're very multi-talented.
Oh, thank you. Wow. I should come back here more often.
Do you feel like there's a stigma for men or in the gay community that exists with plastic surgery? Because there definitely is for women.
I honestly think it's any community. I also think that we're not realizing, but straight men are doing a lot. They may not call it the same thing, but they're doing a lot also.
They get calf implants. Yeah.
That episode of True Life on MTV will live with me forever.
Right?
I'll never forget him.
The calves weren't even that much better afterwards.
It
honest.
Feels like a gnarly surgery for something that we're not looking at.
And also, the end, I remember even being like 13 and gay watching. He was like dancing in a club with glitter on his body. I was like, this is what you were looking forward to? Like, you needed the calves for this?
Yeah.
He was like, my life is complete. I'm like, I think we gotta
go to
circle back.
Yeah. Get some friendships under your belt and then tell me how you feel. You know what I mean?
But I do think like all the men in Hollywood get plastic surgery. They're on some kind of peptide or they're doing steroids or they're doing testosterone or they're getting hair transplant. I bet you 90% of the men we see in Hollywood have hair transplants. So I don't think it's just a woman's game. I think that like everyone wants to look better in every community.
Yeah. It feels so good.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, yeah, gays are probably a little more open about it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't know why women hide it.
Well, there's something that feels like, and also with male, it feels like inherently like feminine to care about your looks. But one of my favorite Instagram accounts that I just started following is a woman who applies toupees to men.
Oh, she's
so good. And they look so good.
What's toupees to men?
Toupees.
Oh, toupees.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't pick that up.
What is? Can I have someone pay me?
Yeah, no. And so she's
haven't heard the word toupee since the 90s.
Yeah, it's for people who can't, you know, I guess afford the actual hair transplant.
It looks so good.
It looks so good.
It's so relaxing to
watch
the videos.
These guys go from like fours to nines. They're hot.
That's what I'm saying. A good hairline is enough to like cure what ails you.
Yes, yes.
My boyfriend's hairline after he got back from Turkey, I was like, God damn. Your face was hot before, but now it's hotter.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing with the toupees account is like it's all women watching the content and be like celebrating these guys for taking, you know, for caring about their appearance. But when you see the women getting enhancements, it's just guys going like, they didn't need to change that. This looks like shit. Or women being like, why are they doing that? It's so negative.
Well, I will say like because my special Hair Plugs and Heartache available on YouTube, but I do 15 minutes on my hair transplant. I open the show by saying I got hair transplants.
Right.
And so many men have reached out to me, not only inquiring about hair transplants, but like thanking me.
Yes.
like I'm Mother Teresa.
No, but an insecurity like that, it takes hearing somebody talk about it and not giving a shit.
And I also think you said before when we talked about it, I was like, oh, you got plugs. You're like, it's not the 80s. When I was a kid, hair plant, like, plugs
they look like ant legs sticking awful out of your
head. Dude, they look bad. So I don't know if a lot of straight men know that it can look like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when I got my hair done the second time, I'd go back. You can option out to like wash your hair at home or you can go there every day and they wash your hair for you for an extra charge. So I was like, I'll just have them do it for me because they apply all this stuff. So I'm like waiting for the woman, Mona, to wash my hair. And there was a wife sitting there and she was like, her husband was coming out of surgery when he came out. Like I was telling him, like, you got to have him sleep up. You got to have him do this. You got to do that. Da, 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 da. And he came out and he was just so straight about it. He's like, I have fucking hair now. I was like, damn.
No, dude.
So straight men are proud of it. I do think like with social media and like kind of like everyone becoming a little more open, like I think that we'd be more shocked at how little shame there is talking about getting work done. People kind of use it as like a point of pride.
That's good. I've always felt for a long time, like mainly with straight men, like I've always wondered, like, do straight men feel sexy? Like when, like, you know, women again, like, yeah, you do.
And
when
Call
do you
feel sexy?
When it's like all
yeah, right. That's when, right. You're a big video honestly, game guy.
When it's all like firing, when you're working out and eating right and like well-dressed clean shave or like when you're like really got it going, like for an event, a wedding or something like that.
But women like as a woman, like I love leaning into like feeling sexy like all the time. It's so fun. And I'm like, I want men to feel that way too.
I think the expectations of men having to be sexy and women being sexy historically are just very different.
Very.
So men probably innately just culturally aren't raised to think that they have to be presentable at all times where women often do.
Yeah, yeah.
Just historically speaking. So like if a man dresses up for like a wedding, everyone's like, oh my God,
he just put on
a tie.
Yeah. Right.
Like we all act like idiots. Yeah.
Well, that's that expression, like you clean up nice. It means like usually you look like shit, but if you put like a suit on.
Oh, I hate when people say that to me.
You look pretty good.
Yeah.
You clean up nice. I mean, I don't dress well, but on the occasion that I will put on something that's not a t-shirt and jeans, people are like, you should do this more often.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's too much.
But you're always wearing like the best t-shirt and jeans. Like it's very, it's ironed.
You got you're ripped. You're fucking like, you got a face. The face.
The face is well manicured.
The face is tired today.
Today it might be tired, but tomorrow it's going to be fired up.
Speaking of feeling sexy, sexy? Like, how do you, this is, feels like such a what Cosmo question, sexy? But like, how do you feel sexy?
Have you ever given a blowjob by putting an ice cube on your tongue at first?
Yes.
And then
it's yes,
like,
I
and
have.
Then don't tell him.
But how do you feel sexy outside of, you know, like a relationship or outside of
on stage? Because I've not been very secure.
That's a guy thing.
But you know what?
No, but it's awesome.
I feel sexy on stage.
I will say gay men have a lot in common with women in comedy.
Sure.
Yeah, not to the extent of like, can you wear a dress? Can you not? Are you getting followed home? Who's trying to fuck you? Da 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 da. But I just mean in terms of like the vulnerability.
Yeah.
Like the kind of, you know, because homophobia really roots itself in misogyny. So being gay at all these open mics, it's like you're coming up against the same kind of criticisms because people don't want to hear it. Anyways, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say I'm the same thing as a woman in comedy, but.
No, I agree with
but,
what you're saying.
I will say, like, I really grew up, I was very skinny. Do you guys know what I used to look like?
No.
Oh, I'll show you. This is my favorite photo to show people. It is just the
I best. Love, yeah, there's nothing worse, though, than peaking in high school or something. You're like,
I did not.
Peak in my 30s and
that
40s.
That was me.
Baby.
Whoa. Oh, what, you look like a different person.
You look like a totally different person.
So, you know, and we never
but
talk
you still
about
have your shine too.
Kind of.
Like your glow of your spirit.
We never talk about body shaming for people who are too thin because my whole life I was made fun of constantly for being way too skinny. All the guys would make fun of me for how I looked. Yeah. They also just call me a faggot. But, you know, there
too.
Was also that too.
Andy's skinny.
But like, and I'm not saying I'm going through the same thing as someone who's overweight and made fun of for it. But if you're too skinny and you know who,
especially
more,
as a man,
people
women.
Comment. Yes, so
women
I had a,
say more to me.
I had a boss that was naturally very, very thin. And like I worked with her, both of her daughters who were naturally very thin. And I remember she would say to me, she's like, when you're like very thin, people do not mind coming up to you and telling you that. She's like, if I was overweight, no one's going to come up to me and like, put the sandwich down, you fat fuck.
Right.
Like, but everybody comments on how thin I am.
Everyone.
I'm like, that's gross.
And I got most of my comments about how thin I was from women. They would come up, I wish I had your legs. I'm like, well, do you think that's what I want to hear? I'm 19, just a fledgling homosexual. Just, you know. But I mean, so I spent, I have a high metabolism. I spent a long time like figuring out at the gym and figuring out how to go and do all that stuff. So now part of that's added to my confidence, but that part of me still lives inside getting called faggot, one eyebrow. Gay.
You know, one eyebrow?
Thin.
Was it a unibrow?
Yeah.
Oh,
I had
nice.
A pluck.
Ugh, I wish I had the picture handy of my brows. My mom waxed them off and they look like lightning bolts, like conflicting lightning bolts for all of high school.
I had a lot of Puerto Rican friends and they would do my eyebrows in college and I had women's Puerto Rican Chicago eyebrows in Chicago, in college.
So you feel
but
sexy
I feel
on
sexy
stage.
On stage because it took me so long to overcome even performing for like all gay audiences. They're very tough, very smart.
Yeah.
And they
I mean, so many of my gay friends are like, we don't like gay comedians. And I go, okay.
I think that used to be more true. And I think like I'm generally speaking here, but I felt that 15 years ago when I started stand up, trying to perform for gay rooms a lot of times because gays weren't welcome to do stand up in the big circuit, right?
Sure.
That the attitude was sort of like, we hear this at brunch. Where's Kathy Griffin?
Right.
But
I
will say with the amount of queer comics coming up in social media that now everyone realizes that there's a place at the table. So I've only been really selling tickets for the past 2 years of my career are predominantly gay men. And I think there's a big sigh of relief in the room that we can all enjoy stand-up the way everybody else was. And I'm not saying there weren't gay comics. They were not available to me. Jim David and Mario Cantone were not available to me as a 16-year-old. I had Margaret Cho and Kathy Griffin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's important. With comedy, you need someone who shares your perspective. Like, that's where the joke is. Like, there's a million really successful comedians that I understand that they are funny, but they're not funny to me because I haven't lived the life that they've lived.
Right.
It's very important to have someone who shares your perspective.
Yeah. And there's so many queer comics now who are like Jess Tom, Joel Kim Booster, Solomon Giorgio, Jay Jordan, Jay McBride, Jessica Kirsten. Like the list just
Jay McBride.
Goes on.
Yeah. What else makes you, when else do you feel sexy?
That when I win in Fortnite.
Yeah, really?
Oh, I feel great.
Really?
Oh, you can't tell me I'm not.
So you like murdering makes you horny?
Well, in Fortnite, it's not so much murdering because like they kind of like digitally disappear.
Oh. Okay.
But I mean, I am holding an AK. 40, you know, shooting people.
Right.
But no, it's just so fun to play with your friends and kill people and win. Because there's 100 people and you have to, if you come down to the last team that won.
Okay, so you survived a lot. Yeah.
I feel great.
And you feel sexy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But the older I get, the less sexy I feel. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't like, I'm not feeling my oats in the mirror anymore. I'm like, I've seen it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was thinking back fondly to the days where I would like when I was turned 13 and I got tits and I would just walk around the mall by myself in the tightest clothing I could find with my fucking CD player and my headphones and just like I felt like such a hot bitch. It was euphoric how hot I felt, and I'm constantly trying to get back to that point.
You guys don't have like mirror moments still?
Oh, I always have mirror moments. Always.
Really?
I feel like
men look so like,
I take
hot.
So many. Yeah, you don't take pictures
as they
of yourself
age,
in the
like
men.
No, maybe my ass or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but your body's fucking bumping. And your face is hot.
I don't know. I haven't looked in the mirror in a long... I mean, today I looked in the mirror and I thought... it just felt like Sideshow Bob and the Simpsons, like...
Or like Helga Pataki, that kid that she always punched.
Yeah.
Hey Arnold.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, you know, that was the one show I just never got into.
It's pretty good.
It was Hey Arnold. So
I like Hey Arnold a lot.
Oh my God, it was so good.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Okay, so you feel sexy. How about like feeling sexy in relationships, like
eating together?
Really?
No.
Oh, I was like, I hate eating. That's one of my least favorite parts of a relationship is eating with someone else because I like to eat naked and be disgusting.
Really?
Just really get into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to be able to just do whatever. I want to be able to not worry about having food in my teeth or like, yeah, just really go for it. Everything mukbang style on the table. Wow.
I think if they don't snore, spooning can be really sexy for 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you always have to readjust.
Yeah. Just, my neck always hurts.
Yeah.
Just, Bob the Drag Queen is a great joke where he's like, you know, you're 30 when he's like, you literally, no matter how you sit, 13 seconds later, you're like, my back hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it is.
This is doesn't have a lot of long range, this position.
No, I can't even lay down flat. Then I'm like, oh, my back feels tight. I'm like, what's wrong with me?
We're all dying.
I'm falling apart.
Well, also, you work out a lot. I feel like when you work out a lot, everything is just
that's
more
right,
sore
yeah.
all the time and makes noises.
Yeah, you know, it's really tough being at the gym all the time, having to eat zebra all the time.
Wow.
It's great.
Damn, actually, bro. I was thinking about my friend Eric Andino this past weekend in Detroit. We went to middle school together. And he's like 6'5", and he is the size of this room. He's so muscular that when I'm next to him, I just feel like a little...
Toothpick.
Farm mouse. I'm like, and then you see like him doing like these squats. I'm like, how is that possible? Like sometimes it's genetic. Like these big centaurs walking around the gym. It is, I think, genetic.
Like a Viking energy. Yeah.
Also, you get really hooked in the gym. I think it's like too easy to get hooked on. When I started doing squats, like weightlifting, I'm like, oh, I should not be near a gym because I would just want to do it all the time.
I go to the gym all the time. I absolutely hate every time I go.
Oh yeah,
Thing sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to sit at home and vape and watch Pokemon news.
Of course,
Pokemon news.
Yeah, there's a new Pokemon game probably coming out soon. They're gonna redo Johto, and I don't think it's gonna be good. Pokemon, what are you
doing? Speak your truth. Speak your truth.
I know that. I know the headquarters of Game Freak are watching this. show. So let me just
You would be surprised.
Yeah, who's some surprising celebrities that listen to the show?
Let's see.
Susan Boyle.
Oh, Cory Booker.
I was going to say Cory Matthews.
No, Cory Booker.
Ran into Cory Booker.
AOC, I believe, used to AOC, listen. I don't know if she does anymore.
She's probably busy.
Cory Booker.
She live streams a lot. I don't know how busy she
what
is.
What happened to Cory Booker?
He does a lot of Instagram videos that are really beautiful and heartfelt, but I don't know.
He's an influencer now.
Yeah.
I'm just done with the. It's beyond exhausting. And then they demand every year that it's beyond. But no, I love these Instagram accounts of like inspirational anything. This one guy, he's straight, but looks like 10% gay. So, you know, he's trying to draw them all in. And I think that he sets up a fake podcast. I don't think there's a real podcast happening. He's talking to no one. I've never seen the other person he talks to. And he's always like, that is the hardest decision that you're ever going to have to make in your life. He has to be.
Dude, there's a lot of that goes on.
What?
I think people fake podcasts for clips.
There's a guy who does fake stand-up.
Yeah.
Yes, they set up like a room like this. They put in the lights and they have someone panning and then he's talking and looking like this. And then there's laughter. I'm like, what is this club?
Oh, my God.
That's more work than doing actual stand-up.
I know.
Just go to an open mic. What are
scared.
You doing?
He's too scared.
Go to Pine Box and suffer like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen people. I hate that. And my husband loves it. Any inspirational, anything like, and there's like some sort of violent shit music in the background. That's the time we lose the most. It's the time we lose the most. And it's just someone I wouldn't trust with a plant.
Right.
I'm like, I wouldn't trust you with anything in my life.
My favorite accounts are the ones about a specific personality disorder, and the person only talks about that personality disorder, and it's used as an excuse for everything.
Because they're like, suffering deeply from that personality disorder.
Or like so many ADHD accounts that blame everything on ADHD. Yeah. And I'm like,
When I killed my mother, I didn't realize it was because I'm ADHD. This is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Yeah.
I know. Well, now also to be an actual, people have narcissistic qualities and tendencies. That is called being human.
Yeah.
But there are people that are genuine narcissists, but it's such a small percentage of the population.
That's what I've been trying to tell people. I go, do you look at the stats? I don't even think I've actually ever met a narcissist.
No.
I don't think so either.
I can think of one. But these people who want to blame someone on being a narcissist, like, oh, my ex is a narcissist or
no
this is a
narcissist. No responsibility. No personal responsibility.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
You fucking wanted to fuck him, boo. Yeah.
But now everyone's
there.
A narcissist.
I know.
Have you ever heard of a narcissist? Here are the qualities that you may be dating someone who may be a narcissist. Number one, they breathe. Like, it's just so, like, it's me.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. I hate astrology. Just putting
like
it out there. But
when
to
it
me,
resonates with me.
Well, that's everything.
I know.
Sometimes you're tired.
I was very, very, very wary of it. But recently I've been, you know what? The biggest thing for me is how much men hate it and make fun of it. I go, it must be true.
That's a good joke. Do you say that on stage?
I was working on it because that was my realization, like, and a true realization that
Matt
I came
Reif
from.
Went after it, and then
just so many men.
Oh, anytime, is that why people got mad at him?
Well, anytime men continuously he had a lot of domestic abuse jokes, and I mean the whole thing. I don't know. And
the whole thing.
To me, the criminal offense in the Matt Reif special is the 20-minute backpack story that has no ending.
Oh. That's dumb.
There's no what's the ending.
An ending when you got those cheeks.
I will say I watched someone review Matt because Matt's been going through it, and
I
sold out shows at Radio City. Poor him.
I genuinely like his.
No,
it's
not. That's not a criticism of him. I don't think you're criticizing him. But I will say people were really digging to get mad at one point because they were like, and making fun of astrology. Where I'm like, hold up, now.
Yeah.
Okay, domestic violence, one thing.
Yeah.
Astrology
is begging to be made fun of.
I have jokes about astrology, even like, you know,
but people are getting offended by the things they like, not things that they genuinely are. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, it's
like,
ridiculous.
And also, you're right. Like, people are like, I am a fucking Pisces. Deal with it. Like, shut
it's
up.
An excuse. Yeah, we're over. Here's what's happening in the world with the world now. We're over identifying with things.
Yes.
We're over identifying with our sexuality. We're over identifying with our job. We're over identifying with the things we like.
Are you saying that we're bored?
a little bit because we're
well, it doesn't leave room for where it's actually important. So there are people who are non-binary or trans or gay or bi, but it's like, so in terms of sexuality, I'm just saying, so there are plights for people who are saying like, hey, we actually need to be heard because there's problems. And then that gets overshunned by people taking the fact that they're a Scorpio as serious as someone who's dealing with the fact that they're trans.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, yes, when there's violence being had or like bullying, it's like, whoa, 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 everybody shut the fuck up and we need to like recalibrate here. But I feel like, yeah, people wear identities as a badge. I read a book, I forget which one, was talking about like you can't really be an activist if you're too emotionally involved in the thing that you're being an activist for, because then you're
not
in it for
the action.
It does. And I yes, it does seem confusing, but he's basically like, if you like, you're taking it too personally, you have to have some separation between the
cause you do,
so that you can mindfully advocate for it. And I'm like,
That goes with relationships too. You can't be too emotionally involved in your relationship.
Honestly, preach.
Tell me more about this.
You really can't.
I mean, no, we're all comedians. Every comedian treats relationships the same way, I think.
How?
I don't know. We're all sort of like
your material.
Yeah.
Don't come too close, but get the fuck
out
of
here. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly what I do. I like attention, but not too much.
I love it.
I only like attention when I like it. Like, I don't like it all the time.
Oh, when you don't want it?
Yeah.
It's like nails on a chalkboard.
I'm like, when I'm on stage or when I'm alone with my partner, other than that, like, no, I don't want any attention.
So straight people
ever.
Are saying partner now?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, shit. We kind of stole that from
you. I do not care. Because I always thought it was kind of like, I remember like my friends, they were lesbians and she's like, this is my partner.
Oh, right. I would mainly hear it with lesbians.
And then I thought it was more like moving in the direction of like boyfriend, girlfriend. And now all straight people are like, this is my partner. Because they're trying not to offend anyone by having sexual preference, I guess.
Oh, no. It's not. I think it's also just like as you get older, just saying boyfriend sounds very juvenile. Yeah. I think that's more
what
it is.
But that's New York.
What?
This is Never Neverland.
Oh,
yeah. New Yorkers move
to Never Neverland.
Honestly, whatever age you move to New York, that's the age you are for the rest
it's
of
like
your
19,
life.
Maybe. I started meth or I moved to New York.
Well, I'm 19 years
old. Bob the Drag Queen Bob, I'm using all your jokes. Bob has a joke where he's like, grown gay men in their 50s, like, I have a boy coming over tonight. He's like, you're 50.
He's
not a boy. He's 46.
Yeah.
But it is. It's just like, also the fact that like a lot of people have less kids here. There's a lot less like, nothing
we're
is
more fun.
Traditional. Yeah, we're just having a good time.
we do have more fun.
Well, speaking of boys, you married a boy. You married a man. Let's start a rumor. You married a man since last time we had you on the show.
The last time I was on the show, I think, was like 10 years ago.
You were on the first episode.
It was probably in your apartment. Your apartment.
It was her apartment.
On 34th?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 34th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was a good one. Were we downstairs or upstairs?
Downstairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was before.
OG. Way back.
Yeah. So that was before Plug moved out. Yep. That was a long ass time ago.
So you got married.
I did.
And I went to your little celebration.
Can I tell you reception? When I saw you, I was so exhausted that I realized after you left, I didn't even give you a proper hug high. And it's plagued me since.
Oh my God.
There was so much happening that at one point I just like kind of just sat there. I think I came up to say hi to Colin and I was like, I think I'm just going to sit here.
Because my cousins
from Italy were there and I was like, I'll just not move now.
Yeah.
It does seem like the most tiring day of one's life.
I know.
Well, we did a city hall wedding, which is the closest you can get to getting married in jail. And because you show up, I mean, most weddings you like walk through, you know, lavender and flowers and doves going through a metal detector.
That's so funny.
And the number they gave us, and I'm not making this up for a joke, I swear 69. To God, the number they gave us was 69. Because it's like you're at a deli, you pull a number.
Yeah.
69. Oh, we have it framed on our wall.
Oh, that's perfect.
Did you get to pick the person that did somebody say something, or you just got it's paperwork?
We had a woman's. So, first of all, you sit down and you wait for your number to be called like the DMV. And when you're gay and your number is 69, everyone's like, are they kidding? And we go in, so you can have two witnesses and then the judge, right? And then us. So it was Liz from the cellar, my mom. And then the judge, Juanita from the Bronx. We were probably her 18th wedding that day. And my mom on the phone, on a Zoom, had all of Rodrigo's family from Mexico and none of them unmuted themselves.
Oh, no.
So the sound of our wedding, I mean, it was the closest thing to be getting married in an Arby's, but our wedding was Juanita being like, do you, Mateo, take Rodrigo to take your lawful wedded husband? And in the background, just hearing, ay, que mi hijo. Like, it just was so much sound.
Yeah, I can't imagine... I would want people to like wheel me around like it's Weekend at Bernie's at my wedding day, because it's just so much. There's so much stimulus. There's
get enough attention. I think that's usually when someone not in entertainment is getting married, that's a big event for them and the family, and they're nervous because they're not used to that kind of attention.
Oh, I never thought about
that. We're like, it's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough. That I don't even celebrate my birthday. I'm like, it's enough.
Yeah. And it's not even the kind of attention you like, because it's not for your like art or your talent. It's just for doing something that, you know, anyone can do. So it feels like less special.
That's
attention.
Right. You feel we didn't earn it.
Yeah. Right. You love each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't even do a trick. What is this?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I get on stage and they won't stop clapping, I go, I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I pulled it from Barbara Streisand. She did a concert in Central Park for 200,000 people in the 60s, and they wouldn't stop clapping. She goes, I didn't do nothing yet.
Oh,
I love it. Bab, so
she's so
much.
Sweet and cute.
It's so funny.
I have like a list of like kind of Cosmo level questions that
got
I
got it. I'm
to
ready
say.
To answer these.
What's a behavior you used to do in relationships that you now realize is toxic?
Ooh.
Or
you can pick one that you're still doing and you're not looking to change.
That's very true.
That's a longer list. I think like I'm trying to think of my first relationship, second relationship. I think now I can be a little more vulnerable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The first relationship, you're nervous. You're trying to put on this fantasy of who you think you should be for that person. And all you end up doing is upsetting yourself and resenting yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then that turns into resenting them.
Yes.
Yeah. So
they
I think
you in this jail that you also put yourself in.
That's right. Also, then they drink too much. So, yeah, I would say that.
Okay.
It's very interesting, too, though, because as being in this profession, we are super vulnerable, but I also have trouble being vulnerable in relationships. Yet I'll, you know, talk about how the interior of my vagina looks, no problem, on stage, on camera. What do you think
that
is?
It's the reward. It's the risk reward. Mm. And so there's more risk in a relationship to be vulnerable with someone because we're always afraid of rejection.
Yeah.
Where when you're on stage, you're like, well, I've got eight other shows. Yeah, we're in charge.
Mm. Yeah.
There's not really a talk back unless they're hecklers in Omaha, Nebraska, and they sit in the front row and they spend extra money just to talk the entire goddamn time.
The entire time? Come on.
They finally got kicked out.
Talk to each other or talk to you?
To each other and me.
Oh,
so
my God.
At one point, I leaned down. There's like 2,000 people, and I'm like, hi, I'm sorry. There is a show happening here.
Shut the fuck up.
And she goes, I was saying you're hot. And I said, well, I'll disappoint you later. And then they came and took her out.
Oh, my God.
We had a woman at our Comedy Store show just had to put her foot.
Is that not so disrespectful?
What the fuck?
That's been happening
and
a lot lately.
She genuinely didn't think it was. And I was like, whoa, we brought her on stage for a segment. Whoa.
That looks like you had an exorcism.
Did you swallow too much cum?
I did. We brought her on stage and she was cool. And I'm like, this is confusing.
Well, I think she's one of those people who tests boundaries because I had to pretty sternly tell her that I wasn't fucking with her and to get the boots off the stage.
She never got him off, though.
No, she ultimately did.
Oh, she did.
What kind of psycho is testing boundaries at a show that's not yours? Like, what kind of narcissist
bored.
You have to be? Do you like that word, narcissist?
She's definitely one, though.
Well, there are, like, for example, one time I was at the Cellar. You know, at the Cellar, like at comedy clubs in New York, you're doing the same material every single night because you're working it out.
Yeah.
So I was doing a show and some woman yelled. She goes, I heard this last night. Do another joke.
Oh, like you're a jukebox. Okay.
Right.
So then
I said, okay, everyone, let me just explain something. Everyone look at her. So everyone looked at her. I said, this is a narcissist. There's 300 people in the room. And this person decided to take it upon themselves to tell me what I have to do when this is the show. So then I went in on her.
That's great.
But that is a narcissist.
Yeah.
You're not lucky.
The gall.
Hecklers.
Just don't heckle. Also, don't go to a comedy club, a comedy show and do drugs. Like, don't get drunk because that makes it fun for nobody. And I don't know what it is with people doing cocaine coming to comedy shows.
Is that an issue? Well,
I've gotten like on the road a lot of cocaine.
Really?
Yes.
Cocaine
and I'm like, what's
general,
wrong with you guys
right
like,
now?
Is it? Yeah. I've never done it.
I feel like I feel like the more fentanyl, the more people want to play Russian roulette. It's very weird.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm too afraid. The only drug I've ever done ever is Molly twice. That's it?
Really?
Yeah. I'm such a
I don't even do that many drugs, and that's the short even for me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mushrooms are really fun.
I know. I was talking to, who was I talking to about mushrooms? But someone's like, you should just try them like a little bit.
Yeah, microdose.
It'd be fun. We could, you know, I'm like, but I'd have to do it with like a group of people that I love and trust.
Yes.
But also, if you're feeling good about life, you don't need to do drugs. Like, you don't, like people are like, you got to try this. You don't.
But the thing is, like, I don't know. I barely have time to do laundry.
Yeah.
When am I going to have time to sit in a park for 4 hours and watch the trees melt?
I agree with you.
I mean, I agree with you.
Also, I was thinking about this and I was saying, so I have synesthesia. I don't know if you guys know what that
oh,
is.
Oh, it's the color. You hear colors.
I see color with numbers and letters and like sometimes music. And so I think my brain is so like oddly, like always kind of like there's like a secondary
kind of
vision.
Kind always on mushrooms.
Right.
Kind of always on mushrooms, but I'm trying
so
to
wait,
say.
So wait, when you see color in what exactly? In numbers? In
numbers and letters. Like on air, it's like it goes white, purple, yellow, white, red.
Whoa.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Well, that's so cool.
Is this,
when
did you realize
genetic
that?
Or?
Yeah.
Oh. When did you realize you had it?
When I was 18. Because, I mean, I just I'd always thought that way, but you don't speak up about it. And then one day I was listening to music in school, SAIC, I was painting. And I, because this one song kept like bringing up all these different colors. And so I said at lunch, I'm like, you guys know when you listen to music and you see color? And everyone looked at me like I was crazy. And my friend Ernest goes, oh, that's called synesthesia, Mateo. And then I looked it up and then I took a part of this synesthesia test with researchers and I got a 99%.
Whoa. You nailed it.
Yeah. For color graph, I think is what it's called.
That's cool. So you experience it in that letters and numbers are colors and music is colors.
Some instruments are brighter than others for sure.
Do you see the color with your eye or with your mind's eye?
It's like here.
Okay. Oh, like in front of you.
Like, I don't know how to describe
like,
it. Like,
like colored glasses, you know, when you wear like orange sunglasses, like that kind of thing?
Maybe. Okay, think of it like, it's like looking at me and then think of a really red tomato.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that's like the kind of closest I can like picture it. But imagine that happening and it has its own little atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Imagine that happening without even trying. Like, it just happens unprovoked reading.
Whoa.
So it's like my name starts red and ends white.
That feels very distracting.
Well, that's probably why I have ADHD.
Yes.
Maybe not, though, if you've always had it, so it's just like a part of how you think.
Days of the weeks are colors.
Cool. And what color is Monday?
Monday's a red, but then Tuesday's like light blue. Wednesday is like dark purple. Thursday is dark orange. Friday's bright orange. Saturday is like a darker purple. Sunday is like a lighter purple.
Cool.
And this never changes? Okay.
Wow. Been that way since I was a kid. Because I remember asking my mom to play the orange song when I was little.
Uh-huh.
And it was Barbra Streisand's Don't Rain on My Parade. And I still see the same colors to this day when I listen to it.
That's interesting that it stays consistent for you.
Yeah,
that's really
move.
Cool.
And I've only met one other person that has it.
Yeah, I've never met anybody.
I've never met
until
anyone
now.
His name's Frank. We went to school together and we had a lot in common.
Aww.
Drawing, musical, all that. But
I was
going to
say, do you think it's why you're so artistic? Because you're such a good drawer and animator.
I'm sure it helps, but I think I just am artistic. Mm. But I think if you took it away from me, I'd be way more like observant of like what, where it falls into place and how it affects my life. But it's so normal to me that I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've met one other person that has it. Synesthesia.
Hmm. That's really cool. Let me see.
Well, these are good questions.
What was the moment you just knew you had to break up with them in your last relationship? Let's say, or like a major moment that
I think when your chest hurts just thinking about them being near them.
Oh yeah,
like that kind of like pain. You know, that was my last relationship.
Yeah,
where you were like, oh, that's not.
One thing I realized before I have sex with somebody that I'm about to like fall for, I get a very specific feeling, not in my vagina or anything like that, but like in my stomach, like below my belly button, that I only ever get right before I have sex or when I think about having sex with somebody I've never slept with before, that I'm like, we are going to be together for a long time, or I'm just going to have very intense feelings for you.
Your vagina has a sixth sense.
It's not my vagina though. It's like my stomach.
Like
it's
your
my,
ovaries? Yeah,
no, it's not. It's like,
we're really trying to make it.
Make it your own. It's like a, you know, like a pit in your stomach. Mm-hmm. It's like that, but it's very specific.
I will say I had that with my last boyfriend and my current husband.
Yeah.
Where like you meet them and like, you're just like, oh, this person's going to be my life for a while.
Yeah. It's like, so now I know it's there. I use it as a metal detector.
That feels just like intuition.
I guess, but
interesting
get
that it comes here.
Right below my belly button, inside my stomach. And it's only like, when I think about sleeping with somebody that I have not slept with that I know we're going to be together.
What chakra is that?
It's sacral.
Okay.
So, okay, yeah. LA. What chakra
Mateo,
is that?
I really was chakras worried because are energy centers of the body and they're really
believe
real.
Believe me, I have this attitude about everything too, but I don't know. I just was like convinced a little bit more that this stuff has a more meaning than we think.
Well, that kind of stuff, like if your chakras are aligned, even if it's not science, at least it's trying to explain to like balance your life. Like the messaging behind it is balance your life.
It's no different
not
than religion.
Not that I'm a Capricorn and I'm reading in the back of Star Magazine what my Wednesday is going to be like. See,
yeah, you know, getting your horoscope in the back of a magazine is disgusting.
Oh, Star Magazine by the Gotti mother.
Oh,
she used to do it. Oh, yeah. Nice. My aunt Cindy used to get Star Magazines and I'd take a black permanent marker and make everyone's face Michael Jackson. That was how I spent my childhood. How was yours?
A lot of tears. Very beautiful. That's good. Let's see. What else? I have a couple here. This is maybe more personal. But like, have you ever had a spark die in a relationship and you've revived it?
Can friendships count?
Yeah.
I mean, in a relationship, usually when the spark dies, everyone kind of like packs their bags.
Right.
I like my last boyfriend, there was a huge spark in the beginning and it was just so intense. And then like, I think I was like almost like a heroin addict, like chasing that high. I couldn't quite get back to it.
Only sexual, or was this like an
all encapsulating? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you still talk to the person you had the best sex with? I do not.
Well, yeah. And if he didn't do laundry, I'm going to be furious.
Lucy? It's
your husband?
Lucy! Actually, I'm Lucy in this situation because he's got such a thick Spanish accent.
Right.
He's so Mexican.
You did marry the person that you've had the best sex with.
Yeah.
I feel like that's actually really rare.
That's rare.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
It's me.
Because usually when you have the best sex ever with somebody, you're like, this is way too toxic.
Yeah. I do understand that sentiment. Deeply.
How long were you dating before you got engaged / married?
We started talking end of February, and by August got married.
Wow, lesbian speed.
Yes. I you know, my wife and I like to make our own water.
So wait, what was it? Like, what do you always move fast in relationships?
I go to bed at 5 p.m. because I have 6 cats to take care of tomorrow.
And, Jules, Sydney,
Jules,
Lucifer,
Sydney,
Petrie,
Tracy, Katie Lang, Melissa are the names of our cats. And we wake up at 3 a.m. to feed the chickens.
What's a non-sexual thing that turns you on?
A non-sexual thing that turns me on? Maybe just someone's walk.
Yeah.
If you got like a confident walk, my Chicago accent, if you have a confident walk. Well, I remember watching Hollow Man years ago, which is an awful film starring Kevin Bacon.
Oh my God, Hollow Man, early 90s.
awful.
Yeah.
Awful, awful, awful. But good. But like a good awful.
A
you
good
know?
An enjoyable.
Anyway, Kevin Bacon was walking. My mom said, I've always liked his walk. And I thought, So now I always like in my head, I didn't realize people could have a good walk.
Have you? Sometimes for sure. I'll have a good walk.
I don't. I've never had a good walk in my life.
When I have a good walk, I feel like I lock into it. And I'm like, oh, yes.
Did you learn it at the mall when you first got your breasts?
Honestly, yes. Yes. That was a great walk. Oh, I was so horny when I did that. I was the horniest I've ever been.
I just love the idea of you. You have to say that on stage.
Yeah, that's true.
Very
I should.
Funny.
I tried to get molested by a teacher. It did not work. What's the most caring thing a partner ever done for you?
The laundry.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. Honestly, stuff like that. Like if I come home.
Acts of service.
That kind of
stuff.
Is that
your love language? Is that how you like to be loved?
I don't know that I believe in love languages, but I think definitely something that I rarely ask for help. So I have a difficult time receiving help because I think I'll figure it out myself.
Yeah. Hyper independent.
I am very hyper. It's a kind of a problem.
Yeah. It's a big problem. But, to get it.
Again. But if I come home, it's like, let's say I was in Boston. I had 7 shows in Boston. I'm there for a week. You're exhausted. I mean, your body is literally falling apart. People don't understand how hard it is. Listen to me like I'm a firefighter. It is. I'm just saying.
It's risky. It's dangerous.
There's lots of cats involved. No, you're exerting so much energy and you want each show to be as good as the next show. So when you come home, if I come home and the house is spotless, I'm like, oh God, this is not this.
And you didn't ask.
And I didn't ask.
Oh.
Yeah.
Take
well, because you're exerting energy, but you're also taking in the weight of everybody else's energy.
Yeah.
Doing a show for that amount of people when they're all there to see you versus doing a show when they're there to see a smattering of people is a completely
totally
different
experience. The amount of pressure on top of you.
Everyone's there. They're
you.
Looking
and
at
they're
you. They're hanging
on
everything you say. And it's a lot.
And you don't want to disappoint. I want returning customers. I want them to go home and say it was worth it to get the babysitter, my crop. But I mean, it was worth it for like the money. It was worth it to get out here.
Yeah.
Yes. So I really work hard on stage to give them all I got.
Yeah. And you have to, you have to, like a camel with water. You just have to like save your energy and like keep it on a shelf and not utilize it.
Wait 1 second. I want to go back to this really fast engagement.
The lesbian thing.
I'm obsessed with this because I just want to talk about like how to navigate when you get married that quickly or you want to
get a couples therapist.
Yeah.
That's serious. Get a couples therapist. You can learn how to like, communicate
no one
to each other. Yeah. And you need a mediator sometimes in the beginning, just kind of like figure out what is each other's buttons we're pushing. And
sometimes you can't see the forest through the trees and like, is this my insecurity speaking or do it like you, it's like things can get muddy very quickly.
Very quickly. Very quickly. Because you're also still, you're coming out of the phase of like presenting yourself in the best light. And now suddenly you're living with each other. So you're like, oh boy.
You have to like smell your shits. I'm like, okay.
Have you lived with someone before?
No.
See, okay.
Oh shit. So
talk about how the change, because I've never lived with someone and the thought of it just sends shivers down my spine.
It is as bad as
I've discovered that it's okay to ask for time alone. And that doesn't mean you're rejecting the other person, but we exert a lot of energy and we have a lot of people wanting our attention. And so there are, for me, the way I recharge is not sitting with friends it is literally being alone.
Yeah.
That's how I recharge.
Talking.
Yeah. And Michelle Wolf said this to me once years ago, and I always think about it. She was like, she was talking about a breakup she was going through.
Yeah.
And she goes, being alone was so important to her. And I was like, why? And she goes, because sometimes you just need to let your mind wander.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I've always sort of related to that. It's very true. So my recharging is like after I'm on, 3 planes, 5,000 people, 4 hotels, da da da. I want to sit on my couch and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do. And I want to kind of
talk to you.
And I don't want, because the problem is what happens is that even if someone isn't draining your energy, right? They just want to be around you. Your brain at that moment is taking that on as another responsibility.
Sure.
And I have a real hard time with the amount of responsibilities that I have. And I'm always trying to sort of knock it down.
Yes.
So that way I don't feel overwhelmed. So I will say even like Rodrigo knows, he's like, sometimes like I'll come home from a long weekend and he'll have the house clean. He'll be like, I'll see you in an hour. I'll bring in lunch or whatever.
And it's like love.
Yeah. And it allows me to come home, settle down. I don't have to talk. And then when he comes home, we can have dinner together and I can slowly seep back into my normal life.
I like that you said that because it truly doesn't matter what type of person your partner is. It doesn't matter. Like, it just having another human being in the same apartment as you. No, you can't.
It like, feels like a responsibility.
Yes, you have to. Even if you're in the other room with the door closed. No, I still feel. Now I feel you over there. Like, I don't want to. I don't want to
feel you over
and
there.
And it's not like the person doesn't have to be. The person could be the best person to be around ever. So relaxing. Doesn't ask anything of you. But it's like, no, I need to be the only human. I don't want to have. I don't want to think about you. I don't want to think about anything.
Right. And it's not like you said. It's not like I'm doing this to hurt your feelings or to reject you. I'm doing it because. This is just how I recharge.
Yeah, you put your oxygen mask on you first, and then you can fucking address everything else after that.
Well, because people often say, like, I just love having someone to come home to. I go, I've never once gotten home.
That's like the worst part of a relationship.
And been like coming home to somebody. Yeah, I love coming home to an empty house. Well, the thing, I love coming home to a dog, though. Like, my, as I'm approaching, when I'm getting off a plane, when I'm in the taxi home from JFK or whatever, and I'm approaching my house, I literally get so excited at the thought of, like, seeing my dog. Like, I, like, or if he's at the, like, the dog sitter's house, like, I get a rush. I'll like, run to pick him up, like physically run. I get so excited. I've never felt that way.
And it's because a dog doesn't talk.
Yeah. They don't talk. They don't ask anything. They just want to be fed and be taken out. But they don't, they don't need you.
So excited. Well, he'll do zoomies when I show up.
That's
kind of talking.
A big rule of mine is don't, if you have something that basically, if you're going to pick a fight, do not do it when I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
Do not do it. Don't disturb my energy the day of the show, because maybe it means something to you, but there's 5,000 people who bought tickets and let's not fuck it up for them. So everything needs to wait till another time.
Yeah.
But Rodrigo is super respectful and he's very...
That's awesome. That's nice. That's nice to have a partner that gets it where you don't have to like explain yourself. Like, that's so annoying. Well, I think with that, we're wrapped up. That's the time we have. Do you have anything? What would you like to promote?
I have a podcast with Nick Smith called I Never Liked You. It's 15 minutes and 15 minutes only, because that's all we can bear with each other. And it's on YouTube and anywhere you can get Spotify, iTunes, wherever you can get podcasts.
Yay. And then go see Mateo live.
Yeah. MateoLaneComedy.com.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us. We know you're a busy guy.
This is very fun.
Appreciate it.
I had a lot of fun.
Thank you. This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary. Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson. Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares?
Just fine with sleeping.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.